He made journalism a tool of the 99%. He stood up against the 1% and the profiteers, and he became an example for millions. And that is why he is in the position he is in. Legal avenues exhausted, his health deteriorating, extradition proceedings under the Espionage Act. And of course the EU and US have moved on from the terrible wars that he has exposed.
We are standing in front of the embassy, screaming love for Syria, setting free.
It's the very same lies that you're hearing now about Ukraine. Everyone knows the lies have been exposed in terms of Afghanistan. Nobody calls that a success anymore, so we just don't talk about it. We turn the back on the people there that we were supposed to care about. We rob their money and we starve them with sanctions. But it takes decades to crush an idea or crush a movement. That is what they are trying to do. And that is why we are here, because we will never allow that to happen. They may invoke massive cruelty on this one man, but we are the voices of the millions globally. We will stand by Assange. We will never give up until he gets his freedom and we get a peaceful and a better world.
We are here because society has stopped to function. The politicians are silent, almost all musicians are silent, but the biggest crime is that journalists are silent on the case of Assange.
Le plus grave, c'est que les journalistes sont réduits au silence. C'est le cas de Assange.
We're in Brussels. In front of, behind the stage, we're backstage, of a Julian Assange rally, running into Roelie Post, Dutch whistleblower, European Commission whistleblower, Roelie Post. How are you doing, Roelie?
I'm reasonably fine, considering the circumstances, and I'm very happy to be here. I'm supporting Assange since many years. Also the book which was presented here from a few years ago, I was a co-signer of the joint letter asking for the release of Julian Assange. Well, of course, first of all, because he brought out so many truths. And one of the first truths he brought out was through some people, including myself, who brought out some scandal about an adoptee who was sexually abused and on the internet. And Julian Assange was the only one who published it and who also wrote an article about it. So I knew about Julian Assange from long before he became a prosecuted whistleblower and journalist. And well, being a whistleblower myself, of course, I have an extra sympathy for people who are being prosecuted or being badly treated, and that's an understatement in the Assange case, for bringing out the truth and doing basically what every citizen should be doing.
Your story may also be one that is slowly being forgotten. I have not forgotten you. But are you safe? Is your life in order? Or how are the powers that be treating you at this moment?
The powers that be are treating me like before. They're in total denial of anything ever having gone wrong, or in denial of me being a whistleblower. That's, with that I mean the European institutions, European Commission especially. At the same time, or during the last years, because it's 5 years ago we spoke, during those 5 years, the Dutch National Parliament has adopted a decision, a motion, unanimously about me in my support. Also, the Dutch House of the Whistleblowers has taken a position at the request of the Prime Minister, Mr. Rutte, and the House of Whistleblowers has written to President von der Leyen to request her to review my case. But the European Commission is again denying this and saying that there's not the beginning of proof that I'm a whistleblower or have been badly treated. I live back in Brussels since 3 years. I'm very happy to be back in my house. I'm reasonably safe, but that's only since I installed a very serious security system, because I was threatened and more again in Brussels. But in general, I'm back being in Brussels, in the heart of Europe, where things happen, where there is the power to change things, and where I can participate to events like this and speak to people. And I hope together we can all be strong and get a better world in the near future.
So the power to change things should be here. This is headquarters of Europe, one would say. At the same time, that would be the critical questions that I have on European Union functioning currently, European Commission. We're doing nothing for peace. We're picking a fight, we're picking a war. We're doing nothing to resolve a crisis of health that's evolving in the world, and European Union is doing nothing about that. So what's your observation of European Commission functioning now?
Well, they're not doing anything for Assange, they're not doing anything for Snowden, they're not doing anything for the other whistleblowers, they treat me badly. But yes, the war is a major, they should be going for peace. Peace one gets by negotiating and not by sending arms. So yeah, I'm very sad about that, but I remain optimistic that perhaps the next commission will bring about change. I hope people stand up around Europe and ask for a better world. And we can't, I know it's definitely not going well at the moment, in my opinion, but we must keep hope, because otherwise all is lost. So let's just all stand up and stay strong and work for the best.
If anyone gives me hope, Ruli, it's you and running into you. Thank you for talking to us.
Most of you will have heard this at some point over the last couple of years, so please sing along. Behind these prison walls, there's a man who's won awards for the work that he has done and all that it affords, such as the knowledge of the horrors committed in our names. They can't stop the message, so the messenger gets blamed. Behind these prison walls, in solitary confinement, in a land of rolling hills and royalty and other such refinement, is someone who is a hero to whistleblowers everywhere, who helped him tell the world of the crimes of Tony Blair.
Cueillir Mick Wallace, qui est un député au Parlement européen.
Julian Assange is in confinement now for over 10 years between the Ecuadorian embassy and prison. And all that time, we have seen the chilling factor work very well for the establishment, because the idea that there's a free press anywhere in Europe today is hard to credit. There's no scrutiny of what's really happening today in Europe. In the last 2 weeks in the Parliament, we've been discussing a thing called the Ukraine facility. We're about to sign off on 50 billion of European taxpayers' money towards rebuilding Ukraine. But we're also going to sign off on another 20 billion, despite the fact that we've already spent 72 billion, we're signing off on another 20 billion for military aid over the next 4 years, whether the war stops or not. So while we're actually pumping in 20 billion on one end to make sure the war doesn't stop and the destruction continues in Ukraine, we're going to spend another 50 billion rebuilding it, and the media had nothing to say about it? What the fuck is wrong? The failure of mainstream media all through these years to actually defend Julian Assange has been so obvious, so blatant. They have lost all their credibility. They've lost their credibility. They are servants of US empire. They're servants of the EU establishment now. That's only a vassal state of the Americans. The Julian Assange case is probably the most significant case to do with journalism in my lifetime. And given all that's going on,
and the way that independent media has been shut down, has been driven into the background, has been made it so difficult for them to operate. All the more reason why it's so important that we do not lose the fight for Julian Assange.
Behind these prison walls is a person they deprive of most of the things in life that keep us all alive. A person being tortured even as we sing here now, for revealing the war crimes. Why, when, where, how? Behind these prison walls, our very right to be informed of what the hell is going on is the teacup in the storm. With knowledge there is power, so the solution by the crown. A 24-hour a day indefinite lockdown. Behind these prison walls, behind these prison walls.
A moment ago I talked to Roelie Post, who is a Dutch whistleblower. She was fired from the European Commission 5 years ago, and I asked her, how are you doing? She lives in Brussels. And then I hear you on stage, Mick Wallace, about the failure of European Union and European Commission and such. So if you would comment on not just this case of Assange, but also you're a member of European Parliament. What can you do? What can people do?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's not easy. And I think people need to remember all the time that politicians never change the world. It's for the people. The people have to stand up, they have to take to the streets if they want to make a difference. Europe is not going in a good direction. Von der Leyen gave her State of the Union address last week down in Strasbourg, and she was speaking to less than 10% of the people of Europe with her speech. It was a load of nonsense. She's speaking to the elites. She's not representing the people of Europe, the citizens of Europe. She's representing US empire with her battle with Russia, which isn't actually in the interest of the Europeans. Cost of living has gone up 17% in Europe, and they're prepared to sacrifice not just the working class people of Ukraine, but they're prepared to sacrifice the citizens of Europe for their an imperialist war. I mean, we don't support the Russians and we don't support the Americans, but we think we should be supporting the citizens of Europe, and Van der Leyen is not doing that.
So my parents only watch the 8 o'clock news and see Ursula on TV and don't see you. When I see you, that gives me hope. But you say public support is declining already for the likes of Ursula.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Last June of last year, when the war was only 4 months old, there was a huge survey done by the European Council for Foreign Relations, an EU body, and they found that over 70% of the people, they choose peace rather than continuing to punish Russia. So over 70%, and that figure grew to 80% before the autumn. And myself and Claire Daly had an amendment twice in the plenary in Strasbourg to the Ukraine resolution, and we our amendment said that we called on the EU to maximise the potential to bring about dialogue and diplomacy with a view to ending the war and establishing peace. 80% of the politicians in the European Parliament voted against that. 80% of them, right? But 80% of the people are saying they want peace and they don't want war. So who represents who? The politicians of Europe do not represent the citizens of Europe. But sadly, the mainstream media will make sure that the majority of the people getting back into the European Parliament will be of the same ilk, and it won't change much. Unfortunately, less than 50% of the people will vote, and unfortunately, the poor people and the young people are not voting, and they are the people with the potential to change it and the voting process. But as I said again, don't expect the politicians to change the world. The people have to change things for the better, because Europe is going in the wrong direction now. We want a European Union, but we want one that serves the interests of the people, not one that serves the interests of big business and elites.
My final question would be, I just talked to a member of Dutch Parliament not too long ago, Wiebren van Haga, and he said, this job of mine, this is the hardest and most depressing job that I've ever held. How's your job as a parliamentarian in Europe?
Yeah, listen, I mean, it was obviously more enjoyable in construction. I spent all my life in construction. But listen, I do my best. Myself and Claire Daly work very closely together. We're trying to make a difference in a positive way, and we're trying to change things. We see serious problems with how the European Union operates. We're trying to change it. We never promised that we could, but we're certainly trying.
Whenever I see your face on television or on my computer or online, you're a beacon of hope, so thank you for that.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Are we ready?
Yep. Sous le soleil, c'était le boulon à frac de la poursuite de la traque. C'était le dissocieux qui souffrait sous les dangers. C'était le qu'on emprisonne, qu'on trahit, qu'on abandonne. Qui nous donne envie de vivre, qui donne envie de la suivre jusqu'au bout.
Vandaag over saamhorigheid.
Dagje zonder hemel.
Rusten ligt niet.
Normaal maken is nog niet is normaal.
Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Decision to make.
En dan ook geen hel meer.
You think I'm joking? Predator drones. You will never see it coming.
Wat dacht je alle mensen?
Laat staan dat ik kan ingaan over vuur.
Bezig met vandaag.